Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Welcome to this edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and you're listening to the special Valentine's Day edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, did you call the florist? Have you taken care of Janet yet, or are you going to be having to do that during the show?
Joe, first of all, everything when it comes to my beautiful wife, Janet, is premeditated. I make sure I'm ahead of the curve. I'm always in a position to let her know before and not after how much I care about her. But Joe, here's the interesting thing. It's the Valentine's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show, and Valentine's is about love and comfort and caring and, you know, all that ooey-gooey stuff. And I loved the spinners with Cupid. We'll have to play that again. But will we be saying loving things today about the Hoosiers and the Boilermakers? Will our discussion, and there is breaking news out of Bloomington as far as the sports basketball is concerned with Hannah Perea having some issues with the law last night or early this morning. Jeff Rabjohns from Peaks.com will be on immediately following the Coach Crean press conference. Will we be sending out bows and hearts to him? Joe, it's kind of a contradiction sometimes, especially today with Valentine's Day and the Coach Canjo Show.
Yeah, we've got a lot to talk about, and, you know, IU and Purdue will be a main subject today with the breaking news and also the game between IU and Purdue this weekend. And, I don't know if there's a whole lot of great things to say about either team. Both teams just look good one day and look just terrible the next day. And it's been a roller coaster season. And I'm not sure when's the last time IU and Purdue would play where it looked like both teams were not going to the big dance. When's the last time Purdue and IU didn't make the big dance at the same year? I'd be interesting info, and hopefully maybe our crack statistician Don Schultheis can get us that information.
Yeah, I would like to know when this game was so irrelevant, and I mean really irrelevant, almost to the point where Hoosier fans and Boiler fans don't have a lot of enthusiasm or emotion about it. It's almost as irrelevant as Well, it is more. It's as easily as irrelevant as the football game between Purdue and IU was today or was this year. I'd also like to know if our crack, Don Schultheis, our crack statistician or someone else listening to the show could go into the archives and look and see how many times they've played at Purdue and what the record is at Mackey Arena. But having said that, it really is an irrelevant game. But something that is relevant, Joe, is the fact that we have U of E coach Marty Simmons on the show today. He will come on the first hour around 10:30 or 9:30 Central. And Coach Simmons and his Aces are coming off, and it really is a big win for them because they have a team of freshmen and sophomore starters, an outstanding offensive player as far as a scorer, in DJ Ballantyne on Valentine's Day. And he'll come in and talk to us because they've got a big game with Wichita State this weekend at the Ford Center. U of E takes on undefeated and number 2 ranked or number 4 ranked, depending on what poll you follow, the Wichita State Shockers. Coach Marshall, I am just, it's exciting to have something on the line. And really there is something on the line in Evansville at the Ford Center this weekend. Wichita State putting their undefeated mark on the line. And you talk about a signature game for the Aces, not just for a year, but for a decade. This Wichita State game with the Aces, it's a big game for the program. But you know what? It's also a big game for Wichita State. Not only are they undefeated, but they're trying to hold a serve on a number one ranking possibly in the NCAA tournament coming up. Joe, so having Marty on at this time of the year, even though the Aces have struggled, they're coming off a win over Illinois State. They're going into a signature-type game for the program, and that one that has really national consequences. And it does because of the number one potential seed for Wichita State in the NCAA tournament.
Do you think maybe Marty talked to Michael Lewis and Michael said, hey, it's a big game. You need to get on the Coach K and Joe show. There's something about that show that spurs Indiana teams on to victory immediately afterwards. And, you know, maybe we can have the same magic for U of E that we've had for Butler over the last year and a half. And, you know, I wish Coach Simmons the best of luck. And, you know, Indiana college basketball teams need some good news, don't we?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, that'd be
college basketball in the state of Indiana this year has been a struggle, except for Indiana, Purdue, Fort Wayne. Aren't they about
Fort Wayne,
the only
yep.
team that's in a position to get a bid in the NCAA? And if somebody out there is listening, if Don Schulteis has joined us yet, Joe, or if you get a chance during a break, we might check CBSSports.com or .net and Jerry Palm and see if Indiana Purdue Fort Wayne is in his pre-tournament rankings. You know, he puts those out weekly. He updates them. It's a great site. And, of course, he's the bracketologist for CBS college basketball, and he has been on the show and will again be on the show. And that's right. Those guys are on the Coach K and Joe show. And if you love basketball or you love sports, talking sports, giving your opinions and thoughts, or just laughing at our opinions and thoughts, then you should be listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
And if you disagree with it, you know, just let us know. You can call into the show, you know, at 773-897-6325. You can put a message on Facebook. You can send us a Twitter at Coach K and Joe Show. You can text me at 812-630-2449, or you can text the coach at
812.
That's your cue to give the number.
Exactly, 812-480-9449. That text comes directly to me, good, bad, or ugly. I will take a look at it and possibly answer it, as long as it's not too nasty. Now, if you text me something about Joe, I have no problem, because as you will know, as you know from last week, it was the Coach K, Bro, and No Joe show.
Yeah, it had kind of a nice ring to it, you know. It was kind of nice during my breaks that I was able to tune in and listen to the show. And also want to invite people, you know, if for some reason you can't get the show on the internet for some reason, you can listen by going to 773-897-6325. It also gives you an option just to listen and not be a part of the show. So that's another thing that you know, we want to make people aware of. Now, I've got Jerry Palm pulled up. I do not see IUPU Fort Wayne. I'm not sure who's in their conference. Is Wisconsin Green Bay in their conference? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure on that, Joe.
But they're the only ones listed that I'm thinking might be in their conference. Is Wisconsin Green Bay?
Well, I know that 2 weeks ago they were still in that ranking. So if anybody out there can get us, we're looking now. But we always want input from the show. Heck, it's the listener show anyway, and we'll take any input on that. Indiana Purdue Fort Wayne, Indiana State, of course. Is on the outside looking in there. The Trees are having a great year, Joe, but their inability to win a big marquee game, such as a Wichita State game, some of their early losses in the season. Unless they can win the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament, they're not going to get in. And, we will mention that last night, Butler has just been a hard luck team all year in this new conference. They fell to 12-13 on the season with a hard fought, a game that looked like under a minute left, they were going to win, but they lost at Hinkle Fieldhouse to Creighton 68-63. McDermott had another great shooting night. He got a lot of good looks, though. That's the one thing I've noticed about Butler this season, for you Butler fans who listen. And this is – I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just – something I've noticed is they're letting the good shooters get a lot of open shots. And in the past, those shots were contained, guarded well most of the time, but he did get late what I thought were some open looks for a guy that can shoot from anywhere on the floor. He ended up 11 for 19 with 26 points. He rose, I believe, to 14th all-time on the NCAA scoring list. The next up for McDermott is Larry Bird, I believe, as far as who he's going to pass to get to 13th. Creighton's 20-4. They won 68-63. Butler had a chance to tie with 14 seconds left. Dunham took a tough shot. It was not a normal follow-through for him. He kind of pushed it. It was a flat shot to the rim, hit the front of the rim. Creighton went on to win. Butler falls to 12-13. It's been a long time for Butler since they've been with a losing record, I believe. And I think Butler's given it everything they've got, Joe, and I think they really could be 16-17 wins right now. But they haven't gotten the little things done late in the game. I think Marty Simmons is going to tell us about his team. I use the same way. We'll talk about them later. Blew a lead to Penn State. Just shouldn't have happened. Couldn't get the ball in. I don't want to get into that because I want to talk about that later. Purdue has done that. Notre Dame has done that. Indiana State has done that. IUPUI has done that. Everybody in the state of Indiana, college men's basketball, has struggled, it seems, throughout the year. Joe, I'm going to jump over to baseball to somebody that I know you care about because you love the Yankees, probably for me, folks. I'm saying for me. And if you don't agree, feel free to text us or Facebook us, send us an email, whatever you'd like to do. But for me, Derek Jeter. You know, you talk about the Joe DiMaggio's, the Mickey Mantles, the Babe Ruths, the Hank Greenbergs. You go back, not just Yankees, but great players that you remember, their personalities on and off the field, their get-it-done-on-the-field mentality. And there's a bunch of them out there. Ralph Kiner, who just passed away, was a solid player. But Derek Jeter, for me, is the player during my generation, since other than a Scott Rolen or a Don Mattingly was for me earlier on. He is the greatest player for me as a baseball player professionally in the generation that I know of, because he brought it every day, because he was consistent for 19 years, .312 lifetime batting average, over 3,000 hits, 250-plus home runs, 1,200 RBIs, 13 All-Star games, 5 World Series championships. But you know what? You know what's more important than all of that makes him the great player? Off the field, it was Derek Jeter just does things right. He acts right. He's professional. He's a great ambassador to the game. You didn't read a lot of slop and crap about Derek Jeter off the field. He didn't have to pump his chest. He didn't have to put on a show. He had fun. He played hard. And he was just an everyday guy who you would love to sit down and talk to. He loved the game. He played it like a kid. Joe, you got to admit, Derek Jeter, for our generation, is the Mickey Mantle, the Joe DiMaggio. He's that type of player for us.
Yeah, you mentioned the off-field, and, there's no steroids. There's no dating the cool chick in Hollywood and all that stuff. He's just who he is. He's the baseball version of like a Paul George, you know. And he's all class as far as he's just not going to get into all that stupid stuff. And he epitomizes what baseball is all about. You know, being a Yankee fan, as embarrassed you are with A-Rod, you're just so proud and you beam when you talk about Derek Jeter. And you are right, Derek Jeter deserves to be mentioned with Mickey Mantle and all those Hall of Fame Yankees that, you know, just live on in infamy. He definitely deserves it. Now, another little bit of breaking news from baseball is a guy that's been on the show, what, two or three times, Mitch Stutter, has retired from baseball, but he has been hired as a coach. I think he said he's going to be in AAA the first year as a pitching coach for the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah, Mitch Stetter's been on the show, and first of all, we're sorry that his pitching career is over, but we're excited that he starts another career that's going to be a part of baseball. And I know that as he gets going into the year, gets a little experience and can take his knowledge from playing and turn it into the teaching side of the game as well as the coaching, he'll have a future. And hopefully he'll move up the line. And Jill, I know that we plan to try to get him back on the show, and we'll talk about his new career. Joe, I just got some text message from Don Schulteis, our indie contributor. He'll join us later on the show. And he's razzing us a little bit. As if we're talking about Derek Jeter as if he's dead. No, Don, we know that he's playing another season, but what we're trying to do is frame his career at this point. Even though he's got another year and he could be injured and only play seven games like he did last year, I think he's going to have a great year. What we're doing is framing his career today. He is a great Yankee. He is a great baseball player. He is our generation's Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig. He is as big as the game without ever making himself bigger than the game. He always kept the game of baseball bigger than he was, and because of that, he became as big as the game. Now, I appreciate your comments, Don, and I can't wait to jump your case when you're on the show later. But nobody said he was dead. Nobody said he was done. We're just saying the news is Derek Jeter is retiring. He's playing his last year this year. I didn't like Derek Jeter in the beginning. I love Derek Jeter. I think he's a great player. I think we were able to see consummate professionals in Derek Jeter, Scott Rowland, Chipper Jones, some pretty good players come through our generation. Pretty excited about that. Yankees, one other thing, Joe, before we go to our first break, Tanaka, the new pitcher, who they paid $150 million for, I guess, something like that, and they're calling him their number three pitcher. He flies in from Japan on a 787, Boeing 787, a couple $100,000 to do that. You just got to love the Yankees and their showmanship. And we got a Japanese pitcher, 24, 25 years old. Joe, can he be a help to the Yankees?
I think any pitching could be a help to the Yankees right now, and we'll take all the help we can get. And we're excited in the Milligan family. We've got a few Yankee fans. We've got a few Cardinal fans in this family. And the Yankees and Cardinals play in St. Louis this year. And we're going to be there, and it'll be a split family for the weekend, but it's going to be a blast. I mean, anytime you get to see the Yankees, I had one chance to see the Yankees so far when they played in Cincinnati. Went over there with Reed, my son, and it was raining, and I said, they don't ever call games off. We might be there till 2 in the morning, but they never call games off. We get to the bridge, they called it off. The next day I could not go, but Reed got to go back, and he's a humongous Yankee fan, and he said just being there in the same stadium as the New York Yankees just gave him goosebumps. Mm-hmm. He said it was one of the greatest things ever. Now, I heard your text go off. Is that Don with another comment about the Yankees?
Yeah, Don. Don's given us some crap about Derek Jeter, but I'm not going to say what he said. I'll let see if Don has the fortitude or gonads, you might say, to say it on the air. The other thing is, Don Schulteis did tell us, Joe, I had asked a question. Don says that Purdue leads the series. Is this right, Don? Purdue leads the series at Mackey Arena, 112-88 in basketball, or is that the all-time series IU Purdue lead? Double check your stats there, Don. I just want to make sure on that. Joe, let's go to our first break. I think we're ready for our first break. When we come back, we will talk a little bit about the NBA All-Star Game coming up before Marty Simmons joins us at 9:30. We're going to go to break, folks. It's our first break. NBA talk next. And then Marty Simmons comes in to talk about the Aces and the number two ranked, undefeated, number one seed on the line, Wichita State Shockers, coming into the Ford Center in Evansville. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, the Valentine's Day edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. We're all about love and harmony today, Coach.
Love, harmony, and opinions. And sometimes those opinions will cause some disharmony or a little anger. But in the end, folks, we want you to know that we love you no matter what. You may not love Jill at the end, but we love you no matter what. So happy Valentine's Day to my wife, Janet, my daughter, Paige, Schulteis up at IU. Always include her in my Valentine's greetings and gifts. And, Paige, I didn't get to give you something because you're up in Bloomington, but you know you received at least some happy Valentine's from me this morning. And, Joe, of course, you've got Liz and Ryan, and I'm sure that you have greeted them and wished them happy Valentine's as well.
I've not been able to contact Ryan yet because, you know, being a college student, I'm never sure if she's awake yet. So I will later today after the show. I will definitely do that and take something out for Liz. And I informed Reed, Reese, and Rafe today at breakfast. I informed them that Liz is my Valentine and they need to find their own. She's been my Valentine for over 30 years.
Well, they're awfully young. Don't get them running out there too quick. Okay, let's talk. You know, this morning on one of the other talk shows, that Mike and Mike group, Frank Vogel from the Pacers was on, and he was talking about the NBA All-Star Game down in New Orleans. And, of course, Frank Vogel is the head coach of the East All-Star team. And Paul George, of course, will be a starter for that team. But before we talk directly about the NBA All-Star Game and all the events that go on with it, dunk contest, celebrity All-Star Game, all those other things, I do want to mention that former IU player and star, Victor Oladipo. What a game against the Pacers the other night. 20-plus points, maybe 23 points. Great game. 13, I believe, in the fourth quarter as Victor, the big Oladipo, led the Magic to a one-point win over the Pacers. Paul George missed a shot at a steal. Had a steal with just a few seconds left, missed a shot at the buzzer. The Magic rebounded, and the Magic came away with the victory. I think the Pacers lost a couple games this week as they go a little bit mild into the All-Star break. I don't think it's anything to be concerned about, but it's a big weekend for the NBA. But, Joe, you've got to admit, it's a big weekend for the Indiana Pacers with Frank Vogel being the head coach, with Paul George being one of the starters, and with the Pacers having the top record, or one of the top records in the league right now.
Yeah, and Roy Hibbert's also on the team, right? The thing I didn't understand, though, I was took my brother last week up to get a knee replacement, Steve, and he's doing well, for those of you who know Steve Millian. I was listening to a sports talk show up in Indianapolis, and they were discussing how Roy Hibbert was not happy that Paul George was going to be in the slam dunk contest. And I've never quite been able to find out exactly why he doesn't think he should be in it. Do you have any insight on that, or did you know that this was a kind of mini controversy?
I've got to admit, Joe, I was passed by on that. I did not know that. I don't understand why he wouldn't like it, other than the fact maybe he thinks he could get hurt. I don't think it's like the home run derby. I don't think it's a situation where you could change your shot as you might change the way you swing. I think it's kind of different. So I don't know why he would say that. That's kind of strange.
Yeah, he was not happy that he was going to do it. And I was just kind of, you know, that's kind of a fun thing. And, you know, I just didn't know if you had any. I've searched and tried to find why there was a reason behind, if there was a reason behind that, but I never have quite been able to get that. So, if any of our listeners have any info on that, you know, text us. Text me at 812-630-2449. I'd love to know the reasoning behind why Roy was not happy with that.
Well, it is strange. I think one of the things that makes the NBA All-Star Game special, because the game to me is not special. You never know what you're going to get. I don't think the guys play that hard. I think it's just almost a horse game at times. But I love the events leading up. I love the dunk contest. I love the three-point shooting. Of course, Larry Bird brought that into vogue as a player. I love the celebrity All-Star Game. I love those guys doing what I would love to do. I would love to be out there playing in that celebrity All-Star Game pickup game. I think that's awesome. I love how they open the events up to the fans to come in. And New Orleans, of course, is a great place to have it, especially if you're an adult. But having said that, the game itself is not as important to me. I don't know what our listeners think about it, but it's not as important to me. Joe, what do you think about the game? Before you go to get Marty Simmons, what do you think? You know what? Joe may have already gone to get Marty Simmons. So, yes, he's going to get Marty. So I've just never been a big fan of the game because I don't think – and I understand. Folks, I understand that with the money on the line, you know, guys don't want to go out there and get hurt. But you know what I think? I'm going to be honest with you. I think that it's a defense mechanism, and I think we all have this. When we're good at something and we go into something that pits us against other people that are good at something, and we may not have something on the line, so to speak, we kind of act like, it's not that big a deal. I think it's a defense mechanism. I think it's a way that we try to mask our insecurities, that what if I go out there with all these other great players and don't play well? I'm going to look bad. It's going to hurt my image. It's going to hurt me. And so I'm going to put a defense mechanism on it. I'm going to say, yeah, we love the NBA All-Star game for the fans. I love being chosen. But, you know, we're just going to go out and play. We're not going to go out there and give it everything we've got because, you don't want to get hurt. I think it's more than that. I think egos come into play, folks. I really do. I think egos. So the NBA All-Star game is going on down in New Orleans this weekend. Festivities are starting today. I think you'll have a lot of fun watching that on TV. ESPN has a bunch of it. I wish the Coach K and Joe show was there right now, but we're not. I wish we were. We're going to go to break here in just a second. Marty Simmons, the head coach of the U of E Aces. What a big signature game this weekend. And I think it's a signature game for the Aces, but I think it's a very important game for Wichita State. Number two ranked in one of the polls. Number one seed potentially for the NCAA tournament on the line. Undefeated record on the line. But I'm going to tell you something. As a coach, believe me, as a coach, and as a player, if you are a player, this is why you play the game. This is why you go to college. This is why you put in all the time and effort to have this opportunity on your home court against one of the very best teams in college basketball, a historical game potentially, a great signature opportunity. Man, I wish I was on that staff. I would be pumped. I can't wait to talk to Marty Simmons. We're going to be back with him after the break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Love me tender, love me sweet.
And you're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the coach, Chen Schulteis, on this Valentine's Day edition and talking about a bromance, a love relationship. I've got a guest on right now who I have just had a great friendship with for years. Love talking basketball with him. Love talking anything with him. Love just hanging out with him. We've got the head coach of the University of Evansville, Purple Aces. A big game this weekend. Coach Marty Simmons, welcome to the show, Marty.
Well, I feel 100% the same way about you, Kenny, and really your entire family. They have just been awesome to me, and I admire and your family and you. And you know, when you coached, there wasn't anybody that prepared their team and got more out of their players than what you did. And I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be on the show today.
Well, Coach, it's great to have you. And as I told you, this show's just about – we're just talking sports. In this situation, we're talking basketball and the University of Evansville Purple Aces. And I know, Coach, let's just jump into the season real quickly and talk about a few of your players before we get to this big game. I know you don't make excuses, and I don't either. We're talking about a young Aces team that's learning its way. But you know, at this point in the season, you go from a young team to an experienced team. They know what it's about. They know what it's about to get out there and play in the conference, to have those games every couple days, to get on the bus, to get off the bus, to get on the plane, to get off the plane, to be at home, to come out of the motel room, whatever it might be. Right now, the Aces are 11-15. I think you're 4-9 in the conference. I think it's 4-9. You're coming off what I think is an important win going into this weekend, a high-scoring game with Illinois State, which you won in overtime. I know that you're not where you want to be, and I know some of these players aren't where you want them to be, but give us a quick synopsis of this Aces team up to this point in the season.
Well, you kind of hit a lot of points there, but, we certainly I love my players. I mean, they're a bunch of great young guys that have been very resilient the entire year. I think you got the case where you had a lot of guys that were successful in the high school ranks, and now they've come to college, and a lot of times what made you successful in high school may not give you the same success at our level, and you have to find your way, and you have to continue to work, and you have to improve fundamentally, strength-wise, skill-wise, all the above. And the main thing is we've got some kids that can really get to the basket, and now teams have, we've kind of lost some confidence with our shooting, and teams aren't guarding us like they did earlier in the year, and that's, I think, played some mind games with some of our guys. But it's hard to do a lot with that during the season. You just have to continue to find another way to make your team successful, to make your team better. As we move to the off season, that's something that we'll spend tons and tons of time at that will get better. But looking back at the season, we started off 5-0. A couple of those wins were non-division ones. Had a great win over Mercer, who I think is if they've not won 20, they're one game away and leading their league. Very good team. And then Valpo was a good win. Then we kind of got punched in the nose. We went to IU, went to Ohio, regrouped, had a three at the buzzer, Murray to win, missed it. Played a great game at Xavier. It's just kind of been up and down, and just our consistency and our confidence. I think a lot of times, practice gives you the confidence to play in games, but true live confidence comes from achieving success in the heat of the battle. And that's where our game the other night, we played 32 minutes, maybe as good as we've played all year. Unfortunately, the last eight, they made that run at us, and we just have not developed the attitude that when teams are starting to make that run, you got to toughen up, you got to tighten the screws, you got to be more detailed, you got to give more intensity, and gave Illinois State a chance to win the game. But as you said, I certainly couldn't be more proud of a group of young men, just kind of where we were at, losing four in a row, our dobbers kind of down. We found a way to regroup and get the job done. And again, as you said, I think that really helps us as we begin our preparations for Wichita State.
Coach, you made a couple of points, and I just want to touch base on them. You talked about kids coming in, and they were the stars in high school. And I remember a player that played for me in high school, had over 2,000 points scoring in his high school career, Michael Lewis, now an assistant at Butler. He went on to IU, and he changed where he fit into the scheme, got him a lot of playing time. He became a passer, a distributor, a ball handler, a defender. And ended up being the all-time assist leader. So your point is well taken there. The second thing is, the point I wanted to touch on that you just made, it seems like sometimes with these teams, as they're gaining experience, when the other team makes a run, our players tend to, they become defenders instead of aggressors. And that's really when they got to refocus and say, no, we're not going to sit back and try to defend. We're going to stay on the aggressive side and keep coming at them, get the stop and go back at them. And sometimes they're just kind of putting up the wall saying, let's hope we can keep you out.
I agree with that, Kenny. I think you'll agree with this. I mean, who you are today as a man is a lot of the experiences that you've had to live through your entire life. And I look at that with our team. We've got 19, 20-year-old kids. And you can't emulate in practice. You can try. You can put 2 minutes up. You're down. You can do all those things. But you can't emulate the pressure that's felt in a game like we went through the other night when you have a 25-point lead, and now that run's coming. Now the pressure's on. I mean, what was, the basket looked like a wash tub. Now it looks like a hole that you're putting a golf ball in. I mean, everything changes between your ears. And that's where you learn from those. The only way to get comfortable with playing in those experiences like you're talking about is going through it. I mean, we're getting on-the-job training. Yeah, we talk about it all the time. When a team's making a run, just like you said, slow down. You know, let's make sure we make four or five passes. Let's get a layup. Let's get to the free throw line. Defensively, let's review. Let's go over our pressure points, and let's really, really execute. But too many times, because you feel the pressure, you feel, you know, like you said, you're not as aggressive, it gets a little cloudier. That guy that's been wide open and you've been able to make that easy pass to, now even though he's still open, whatever clouds you're thinking, he's not so wide open anymore. And that's a lot of times just learning to how to handle that through the pressure, and it comes with maturity as well.
Yeah, and you played a solid schedule and you're in a great conference. And this team, as it develops, and they're going to be around for a while, if everything goes the way it should with these young men, they learn how not to settle. And you're going into a game this weekend against the number two ranked team in the country in some polls, undefeated. They've got a number one seed on the line, so they don't have anything to settle back on. But you got them at home. You've got a little confidence. This is the time that your guys – boy, what a time to be an Evansville Purple Ace to have this opportunity to play in this game. They can't settle. They've got to do exactly what you just said. They got to keep making the extra passes. The dribble drive will be there, but you can't settle. You can't settle for the first open look. You can't settle. You've got to stay aggressive and play the way Coach Simmons and his staff have worked to develop you to play.
That's the incredible thing about our game, and the game that we love so much is really, you know, the hype. And, you know, if Syracuse didn't throw in that bomb there to win the other night, you could potentially say they're the number one ranked team, but they did. And but as I know you know better than anyone, because it's the way you coached, is you gotta. It is an incredible opportunity. There'll be so much excitement in that arena, but it comes down to the preparation, our ability to prepare these next 2 days and really lock in and be focused on the fundamentals, because that's what it comes down to. Are you going to sprint back in transition and get them stopped, make them run a half-court offense? Are you going to block out? Are you going to look, go to them, block them out? Are you going to gang rebound? Are you going to take care of the basketball? You can't let your offense turn into offense for your opponent. It's the basic fundamentals in the game that we love so much that a lot of times determines the outcomes. But too many times, as young people, we can become like the fans and get caught up in everything that surrounds an opportunity like this. And for us to be successful, can't get caught up in that. Got to understand it's a great opportunity, but you know what? It's 40 minutes. It's 40 minutes. And as Coach Cruz always told us, two types of basketball, good basketball and bad basketball. For us to have a chance to win this game, we got to play some good basketball.
Oh, and Coach, both ends of the court, and they know it. The thing that I think about the next couple days as you prepare, coming off a nice victory, a little hop in their step, feeling good about themselves, knowing they've got an opportunity to play in front of a great crowd. And I know the hype and everything, but it helps to energize your guys a little bit, and now you keep them focused and get them settled. But this is also, in my opinion, a time where the guys who you believe or who believe they can be leaders on your team start to rise up a little bit over the next 48 hours and into that game to focus that team, to focus themselves, and to be on the same page with you and the game plan and the staff. How do you look at that when you look at some of your players? A Valentine, who's a great scorer, but has to be more for that. A young Blake Simmons, who has a great basketball pedigree. Mocha Vicious, a hard-working guy. Are you looking each game out, and particularly over the next 48 hours, who wants to rise up? Who wants to be a leader? Who wants to mature? Who's ready to say, I'm an Evansville ace, and we're going to get this done?
Absolutely. I mean, and really, Kenny, we challenge them all to be leaders in their own way. I mean, DJ is a guy, and I thought he really did a good job the other night. I mean, he talked. He was more vocal, encouraging guys down the stretch to get stops. We can't get that enough from him. I mean, he has that kind of ability. Adam Wing is a guy that has struggled somewhat with his perimeter shooting. And sometimes, as you know, Kenny, you get too focused on that. When you care, when you have a young man that cares, and nobody cares more than Adam Wing, you can let that take away from the other things that you really give to your team that means so much more. And Adam's a guy that brings leadership, and he brings toughness. And we need him to be like Reed Jackson, you know, to set good screens, to play great defense, to block out and rebound, to do all those little things that a lot of times may not show up on the box score, but as you know, are the most important things to help your team be successful. And then, you know, we do have other guys. I mean, Blake has got to maintain an aggressiveness. He's got to have his ability. He's got to get his nose in there. Stick your nose in there and go get those loose balls. Go get those rebounds when guys are in there fighting for it. And ultimately, you know, we have to, like you said earlier, we have to play with an aggressiveness that you know, gives us the opportunity to compete with the athletes we're going to go against, but yet you still have to play with smarts.
Oh, yeah, there is no better point you just made than just being smart about how you play the basketball game, and that's about being prepared, and that's about being in the moment. And you talk about a guy like Adam Wing, and you know, I said this about Yogi Ferrell for the Hoosiers earlier this year. We were talking about leaders and good players at the same time. Sometimes it is tough for players, especially young players, to multitask. And being a leader on the floor sometimes just does not come as natural to others, and it's a multitask. You can't worry about how you're shooting. You can't worry about how you're playing to decide if you're going to be a leader or not. You've got to be a leader every night out, regardless of how you play, because you're leading everybody else as a group. And somebody else may be playing better. Somebody else may need a pickup. You can't just be a leader when you're playing well. That's just not how it goes.
I agree. And that's something that we've talked about a lot. And really, I think your greatest leaders, when they're more concerned about the people around them and the success that they're having, the preparation, the focus, a lot of times things for you just fall in place. That's just the way the guy upstairs makes it work. And being a giver and concentrating on your teammates will allow you to have success. I think one thing about this game that we're going to spend in a positive way, and we have to really, really learn from this, is in our first meeting, we come out, we make our first 8 shots. We got off to a great start, got a 15-point lead. And really, as we look back on that, maybe that was a little bit like a team that drives that first drive down for an easy touchdown. Because then you can't, now they start to make their run, and you can't, you're just not going to do that. You know. And then you have to have the ability to grind out possessions, especially against Wichita State. They're an outstanding defensive team. That's our next step as an offensive basketball team, is the recognition of understanding. If we've got the great look, great quick hit, and the way the game is being played, we'll take that. If not, we've got to develop what's made us good in the past, and that's the ability to get the ball reversed 3 and 4 times, multiple cuts, multiple screens, and have the ability to break defenses down.
You know, Coach, that point you just made for me is what I see a lot of teams struggle with, and I think the combination of the dribble drive offense, making a good decision when to make that move, which is part of the offense, it's part of the flow of the offense, but reversing that basketball, the skip passes, the ball reversal, the staggered screens, the holding on to those screens and getting guys through, not getting there too early, but the timing. And I really think the good teams continue to reverse that basketball, continue to make those skip passes, continue to be late and not too early. I always told our players I'd rather be late than early in basketball, because if you get there too early, you're never going to get the basketball. But I think you hit on a great point. And going into this game, I think you've got to do these things. On the other hand, Coach, what makes Wichita State so good? I mean, teams are good, but what's made this team be able to go to this point undefeated?
Well, there's a lot of things, really. I mean, they're very, very talented, number one. I mean, they've got a couple kids in Early and Baker that are being followed by NBA teams. I mean, they're very, very talented. They're very well coached. I mean, Greg Marshall, they run a ton. I bet they run 100 different things offensively. I'm not kidding you. And then defensively, they've got 3 or 4 presses they'll run at you. They'll play a half-court zone. But I think more than anything, they're just tough, Kenny. They're physical. And they're tough. Their guards are extremely tough. Van Fleet's a sophomore. All the experience that he gained, and even Baker and Cotton in their run to the Final Four. I mean, people can't forget, you know, they had Louisville down 13 in the second half. They could have been playing for a national championship. And I think the experience that they gained from that, they've certainly used as they've moved into this season. But they don't beat themselves. They're tough. They never get rattled. They are just they don't have any glaring weakness. You know, there may be times that they don't shoot it as well, but they're going to find another way. They're great on the glass. But I think the most consistent thing is just how tough they are and how well they defend.
And it's going to be an exciting venue this weekend. Again, Wichita State coming into the Ford Center. Coach, I want to be respectful of your time because I want to make sure you'll come back and talk to us a little bit more this season. But, I think you've got it right. The kids, the team has to go in and say, this is our time to step our game up. We're not going to settle. We're going to reverse that basketball. We're going to break that defense down. Because, Coach, you are an offensive stud, but you worked hard on both ends of the court. But we all know, as coaches, as players, if you can keep moving that basketball, I don't care how good you are, nobody likes to play defense for too long.
No, no doubt about it. I think the one thing, Kenny, that I would ask fans to remember and is, you know, for Evansville to be successful, and we've had a successful program for a long time, lots of great players, lots of great coaches, is we have to develop our players. They have to be much, much better when they're seniors than when they were as freshmen. And too many times as fans, we remember those Hafners, Godfreys, Hoopmans, Ryans, Taylors, whoever it may be, as seniors, and we forget how they had to learn, how they had to go through the experiences as freshmen and sophomores that made them achieve greatness as juniors and seniors. And I don't use that as an excuse. I don't. That's just life. I look back at my own playing career and all the things that I learned. You know, I was a post player in high school. Well, that didn't work out too good at Indiana. You have to find another way. And sometimes it's your ability and to handle the disappointment, the failure, whatever it may be, that allows you to become bigger and better. And I think with our players, I really like our team. We've got a very, very good group of guys. But I think for a lot of our players, they're handling this disappointment for the first time in their career. And it's kind of knocked us back. The win the other night, I think, certainly helped that, Kenny. The thing, and I know you appreciate this, is if you could have been in that locker room after the game, you know, they come into the locker room and they're really subdued. They knew they'd lost a 25-point lead and almost probably, you know, could have gotten beat. And I came in and I didn't want that. We'd lost 4 in a row. It's been tough. So we start jumping up and down like little bitty kids, and now the smiles are back on their face. Now they're because, you know, I was really proud of the courage and character that they showed to stay the course and to get the job done. And I've said it a million times, if you could bottle up that feeling of sharing that moment, that enthusiasm, that togetherness, that thrill of victory with your staff, your managers, your doctors, your players. If you could just, I mean, $1 million wouldn't replace that feeling. And so we're excited and, you know, we're ready to get going.
Coach, I wish you luck, and I do understand that feeling that you're talking about. It doesn't matter what kind of money you make. There's nothing like being a part of a team, a coaching staff, being in that locker room, going through those lows and highs, and you've seen it all. Before I let you go, your mentor, a friend of both of us, Coach Cruz, back in at St. Louis as an assistant, steps up, takes the head job after the terrible situation that happened there. You got to feel good for Coach Cruz, and he's got a team that's just humming and moving along.
I feel great. He's the best coach in the country. He always has been. I mean, the guy is incredible, and not only as a coach, but as a person. I mean, he just, as great a coach he is, you know, he just won his 400th game, I think a couple weeks ago. He's that. He's even a better person, better human being, and there isn't a better guy that could have stepped into that type of situation and done a better job, and people better watch out, because that team is really, really good. I know they got VCU tomorrow. It'd be an outstanding game on, I believe, ESPN2. But I love Coach, and he has done as much or more for me than anybody, and just very proud and you know, that I had the opportunity to play for him and to coach with him as well.
Well, once again, we've got the number 2 ranked Wichita State Shockers undefeated coming into the Ford Center to take on our Purple Aces. Coach Marty Simmons and the Aces, we wish you the best of luck, and maybe they'll just spark out at the Ford Center. But no matter what, this team, your team, is going to grow from this game. And I know young players, they're learning on the job. Fans are impatient. But in the end, we're going to look back in a few years and say the pieces were falling together. And Coach, it was I just love having you on the show, and I can't wait to have you back.
Thanks a million, Kenny. I love being on the show, and I love you, and appreciate all the support that you've given to me and my family over the years. Thanks, Coach.
All right, thanks for coming on the show, Marty. We're going to go to break, folks. When we come back, Jeff Rabjohns, from Beaks.com is going to join us at some point. He's at the Tom Crean press conference. If you haven't heard, Hannah Mascara-Perea had a little problem with the law up at Bloomington earlier this morning, and he's got some problems as they go into this IU-Purdue game. We'll wait to hear from him. And then Don Schulteis, our Indy contributor, will be joining us as well. Again, thanks to Marty Simmons. Good luck to the Aces versus the number 2 Wichita State Shockers. We're going to break. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelar's a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Of course, that's Sonny and Cher. Their love grew, but then it stopped, and that ended. And Sonny and Cher were no more. But great song, great tune, and we are celebrating Valentine's Day. on the Coach K and Joe Show. I want to remind you, as we get close to April 15th and tax deadline, you got to be thinking about your 401ks. You may have rollovers you need to do if you've changed jobs, money to invest in a market that is going to prosper you and perpetuate what you've worked so hard to gain. 529s, you need to start setting those things up for college. Believe me, I've had one out, another one in, and one that will be going at some point. You've got to get your financial house in order. The best way to do that is to call Janet Schultheis with Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Evansville, Indiana, but she works with people all over the country. She's going to sit down. She's going to figure out what your risk tolerance is and the Edward Jones process that will prosper you, and it will prosper you, believe me. Call Janet at 479-8215. You'll probably get the sweet voice of Beth Geltzer, assistant answering. But either way, they'll get you set up. Edward Jones has a plan for you. Janet Schultheis can make it happen for you and prosper you as you go forward, and for you and your family. So, great interview with Marty Simmons. You know, folks, I think Marty brings a lot of things in perspective. Similar to the IU situation, Purdue situation, we get up frustrated with IU, especially the other night when we couldn't get the ball inbounds. That was ridiculous because these players are, some of them, have the ability to go in the NBA after two or three seasons. Marty's team is freshmen and sophomores. DJ Ballantyne is really one of the best offensive players as far as scorers in the country, averaging 23 points a game. He's had over 40. He's had over 30. His son Blake Simmons is a player that's almost at 10 points a game, a freshman. He's developing. He's going to be solid before he's done. Mokavicius, I can't even pronounce his first name, 6'10 sophomore center, almost 10 points a game. This team that Marty has assembled, and as the staff puts together a couple more pieces of the puzzle, and you have to put some more pieces of the puzzle together, they are going to be a threat in the Missouri Valley Conference over the next couple years. Now, people have to stay healthy. People have to make a commitment to improve. They have pieces. I believe that they will. I believe that they will add those pieces. Marty Simmons and I have known each other for a long time. We've shared a lot of coaching knowledge as well. Excuse me. I'm sorry I coughed into the mic there. We've got with us Jeff Rabjohns with Pigs.com. He also is big on the recruiting trail. But today, Jeff is going to join us to talk about a little bit of the breaking news up in Bloomington. And if you're an IU fan, IU basketball fan, it is breaking news. And I believe he's fresh off the Tom Crean press conference. Hannah Mascara-Perea had a run-in with the law earlier this morning, I believe. And, Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure, my pleasure. You guys do terrific work. Thanks for the opportunity to join you.
Well, the Coach K and Joe Show welcomes you, and I know that it's kind of been a frenzy of sorts this morning. Perea got in a little bit of trouble with the law earlier this morning, I believe. What can you tell the IU fans, the Big Ten fans, and even some of the Purdue fans who are listening to find out just what went on?
Well, the car Perea was driving was stopped at 311 this morning. A police officer came up behind the car that he was driving, saw a left turn signal on at an intersection going to a one-way street where only a right turn would have been legal. The car then proceeded through the intersection. According to the police report from the Indiana University Police Department, struck a curb, crossed the center line, was weaving, and then struck a second curb. At that point in time, the vehicle was stopped, and the officer, upon coming up to the car, noticed the odor of alcohol, performed a field sobriety test, and then took the driver to the station for a standard breathalyzer test, which registered a blood alcohol content of 0.15% or greater. And at that point in time, Hunter Perea was booked for operating while intoxicating endangerment and operating while intoxicated with a blood alcohol content of 0.15% or higher. Both are just Class A misdemeanors, and Perea was then booked into Monroe County Jail. So those are that's where things stand at this point in time. I talked to Tom Crean this morning on the teleconference. He said, quote, "We are aware of it. We're in the process of getting information. It's a disappointing shock to all of us," end quote. So IU is aware of it, and we'll see what happens from there. But that's what we know at this point in time as far as exactly what did happen.
You know, Jeff, I do like the prudent approach that Coach Crean took here. He didn't just fly off the handle and bring up a lot of it. You know, they got to look in. They got to find out what is going on. But I'm going to ask you a question that I hear whispers from IU fans, and maybe you can answer something more in-depth on this, or maybe you don't have anything else. There have been whispers throughout the season that maybe a few of these guys have some questionable discipline and focus individually off the court, and it has caused them problems to get on the court. Is this an isolated incident, or have some of these guys maybe forgot what they're up there for and maybe become college students too much and not IU basketball players?
Yeah, you know, I think those kind of comments and rumors come up, I think, any time you have a team that struggles, you have a situation like Indiana had with Jeremy Hollowell, where Tom Crean benched him for a couple games and said he really needs to get his focus together. So I think you have those comments any time, you know, you have a number of things come together, including a team that has some games in which it struggles. You can look at IU's season, and certainly it's been really up and down, with some pretty high highs, some pretty low lows, you know, beating number three ranked at the time, Wisconsin. That was a pretty big victory, beating top 10 ranked Michigan. Mm-hmm. That was a pretty big victory. Then all of a sudden they turn around, you know, home losses to the likes of Northwestern and Purdue. So I think anytime you get really big gaps in performance like that, then you get guys benched, then you see, you know, a player get something like an alcohol-related arrest. You know, people make certain comments, and then the comments are understandable. How much reality they're rooted in, you know, certainly some. You know, some guys certainly have had some incidents. Some guys' play has been up and down. But I think sometimes also fans forget that, while not excusing anything with this comment, there are a lot of college athletes who, you know, have some bumps along the way. It's not all that unusual. It just gets attention, certainly when, A, it's Indiana, and, B, it's at a time Indiana's having a struggling season.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with Jeff Rabjohns, ParkPeaks.com, Rivals.com, Yahoo Sports Network, and Basketball Times columnist. Jeff, what is happening here, and of course all the information has to come out, what really happened, and Coach Crean and the athletic, whatever rules are in place for the athletic department or the basketball team, is this something, and I know that you're just giving a guess here, is this something that could cost him his place on the team, or certainly some disciplinary measures, but could this cost him a place on the team?
Yeah, I don't know if it would cost him a place on a team. Certainly you would expect some sort of discipline to come from this. And sometimes it comes from the athletic department itself. Sometimes university-level policies come into play. That usually happens after there is a determination on anything like this, where there's an actual arrest involved. I don't know if one alcohol-related incident would cost somebody their place on the team. You know, you can look at a lot of guys over the entire Big Ten and really all of college basketball who have had an alcohol-related arrest. Again, not to excuse any alleged behavior, but just simply looking at the facts, most of the time you're talking about a suspension of a certain number of games, and that's really usually all it amounts to.
Jeff, I just got a text, and the listener wants to know, does IU, let me look at it. Did Perea break curfew, or does the team have curfew hours?
That's a really good question. I don't know the specific answer to that as it relates to, you know, it would have been Thursday night. There are things day before game and things like that. I don't know the answer to that as it relates to a Thursday night when the team plays on Saturday.
And I'm sure that Coach Green is not happy in a, whether this would happen at any time of the year, but coming off a difficult loss at home against Penn State when the team just failed to accomplish what needed to happen at the end to win a game that they had at one point pretty much in hand. How do you view this? Does this have any effect going into the Purdue game? Or is this just an isolated incident where the players shake their head and say, you know, what is he thinking? And they refocus and they get ready to play Purdue.
Well, I don't know that we're going to know the answer to that really until we watch the game. Sometimes when teams are sort of cornered or have their back against the wall and something happens, you really get the old circle the wagons thing, and they come out and they play really, really well because they know they're kind of backed into a corner. Other times, something that may appear to be another bump in the road causes some issues or is an example of some frustration going on or something like that. So I don't think we're going to really know the answer until we watch the IU-Purdue game on Saturday. But there's no question that that's going to be a test, even if Hunter Perreault is playing. You know, we're talking about a guy who's averaging right at 3 points and two rebounds per game. Now at 6'9", if he plays 8-10 minutes, could he maybe be a factor as a sub, maybe against somebody the quality of A.J. Hammond? Yeah, sure. And you could say Perea made some plays defensively and on the boards in the Penn State game that were at least flashes of maybe continuing to kind of get it a little bit. Again, we're talking about a guy playing about 8 minutes a game, so I don't want to overblow in any way his impact. But certainly you look at his physical abilities, you look at A.J. Hammond's, and you say, well, those could be, you know, an important 8 minutes for Indiana. Now he's not there. You're probably going to see a little more of a senior walk on Jeff Howard or something like that. But I think we're going to have to wait to see, you know, how the game comes, how the game is played and how Indiana responds before we get a real answer of how they're going to respond to something like this.
Well, I think you make two great points. One, Perea and his value so far in the season. A lot of people question whether he can ever be the player he needs to be at IU, at least the way he was touted coming in. And two, I think that IU has shown a propensity to bounce back from difficult losses or not playing well and losing to a team that maybe people thought they shouldn't have. And this, again, you make a good point. It may boost that even more for them to come out and circle the wagons, as you said, and play well. Jeff, great stuff. Hope to have you back again soon and talk a little bit about recruiting and some of the other more positive things going on with IU basketball.
Anytime, guys. I really enjoy your work. You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks a lot, Jeff. You can follow Jeff Rabjohns on Twitter, at Jeff Rabjohns, at Jeff Rabjohns. You can also see his posts on Peaks.com, Rivals.com. He does a great job. Again, we appreciate having Jeff on. Also with us now is our Indy contributor when it comes to Indy hoops, high school hoops, Don Schulteis. Don joins us, I believe, on the show right now. Don, how you doing today? I don't have Don. Wonder what happened to him. Maybe we've lost Don, it looks like. Okay, well, hopefully Don will call back in. I guess he got his feelings hurt that he had to wait. That's all right, Don. You've had to do that before. It will be interesting. I was asked, folks, several times this week after the loss with Penn State what I thought about Purdue, the Purdue game, and IU being able to come back and beat Purdue at Mackey Arena. I believe that IU has shown throughout the season, as I said to Jeff Rabjohns, a propensity to come back from difficulty, a propensity to play well after really looking bad. For whatever reason, in this inexperienced team, a team that is still mentally developing, a team that is still physically developing, they have shown the propensity to block out how they've played in Game A and come back and play well in Game B. Now, the problem is you can't keep having Game A's and Game B's. You got to have some Game A's, and then you got to have Game B, C, D, and E where you play well before you have another Game A again. So I really think that it's a situation where Indiana can come back and play well against Purdue. I don't like what I'm seeing out of the Hoosiers. I know, Joe, you're with us, and Don may be calling back in now. Don and Joe, let's start with you. Don, I'll get to Don in just a minute since he hung up on us and he's calling back. I guess he wanted to be on right away. Joe, Purdue comes limping into this game. IU comes limping into this game. I think Purdue struggles because they're not a very smart basketball team. I think IU struggles because they don't handle the game with patience. They settle too easily for things. Joe, as Purdue comes into this game at Mackey Arena, and I know it's not got a lot of hype with it, and I know you probably don't even care about it at this point, but what about this Boiler team? Can it win at home against IU, or is this just two bad teams or two teams playing badly right now playing a game on at Mackey Arena?
But, you know, it's such that yes, I'm here. It's such that Purdue has always never gotten the top talent. The one thing you've always had with Purdue is they were always going to get after you. They were going to play hard. They were going to use the sixth man, which is Mackey Arena. And over the last couple of years, that's just kind of died. There's no Brian Cardinal. There's no Chris Kramer, who, by the way, is going to join us in the next week or two on the show. There's no Chris Kramer. There's nobody after it. It seems like there's too many of them that want to be the man, and there's no the epitome of team player, Porter Roberts, who, you know, was point guard for 4 years, wasn't flashy. He just knew what his job was. His job was to steady the team, get them in their offense, score when the opportunity arose, but he didn't have to sit there and worry about scoring 15 points a game. Now, they don't play hard, and I've been a proponent. I've taken a lot of grief on Golden Black Illustrated. I've proposed that they take the sign that they have up in the student section that says defense lives here. I'm not sure it lives there anymore. The blow-bys that just go for easy layups in the half-court offense by the other team is just never would have happened in the past. It happens now. It happens quite frequently. And Coach Painter's just got to ask himself sometimes, especially at the end of games, who needs to be in there. And, you know, Tyrone Johnson's just—he's just not done the job. He was in the Minnesota game that they won. Luckily, he was 0 for 7 from the free throw line from the 1 minute mark left in the game to the end of overtime. I mean, the free throw shooting's terrible. Coach, I want to ask you as a coach. I'm gonna throw a question back at you. Free throw shooting. How can Purdue and I've seen a lot of Division I basketball teams be so poor at shooting free throws when Purdue's women's team hit 25 out of 27 and I think 29 out of 32 the next game. What is the problem? Does Purdue's men's team need to set up some dates with the girls' team so maybe they can teach them how to shoot the free throw? Why is it that I see so many teams in Division I basketball shoot free throws so badly?
You know, Joe, I can't really give you a straight answer. I can tell you that free throws are about repetition, confidence, and mental toughness. It is a free throw, but it's a tough free throw. But it becomes easy the more you repeat the motion. You eliminate the extra motions. I hate when I see guys throwing the ball up in the air, spinning it two or three times, dribbling it three times, picking it back up, dribbling it a few more times, you know, having their style, so to speak. The best way to shoot a free throw is to do it in a disciplined fashion and eliminate extra motion. Find the spot on the floor with your feet, get a couple dribbles for a rhythm, get set, shoot the basketball. But it takes repetition. And then when it comes to practice, and I had a certain way I practiced with my teams, and they all had to do it that way. Our team shot them very, very well. We were in the top free throw shooting teams in the state several times, and we hit them in clutch situations. You got to shoot them tired. You got to shoot them winded. You got to shoot them fresh, and you got to create that scenario in practice. I've never believed in the old way of go to the free throw line, shoot two or three and rotate, and just keep doing that for a few minutes and then get a drink. We always tried to keep, if we shot two or shot one or shot three, you were running, sprinting, jumping rope, doing push-ups, something in between before you shot your next free throws. It's repetition, it's confidence, it's mental toughness. But this Purdue team, we're talking about a game that used to be, for many, many years, Don Schulteis, where both teams brought in solid teams with some of the top players in the country. We don't even see these teams bringing in the top players in the conference, okay? Yogi Ferrell is, but Hammonds is on the fringe. Bonley is a tough player. But when you look at this game, Don, between Purdue and IU, you usually look at a war, top players in the country. It just doesn't have that feel right now.
No, it doesn't, Coach K. And I'll tell you, I think that there'll be people tuning in from both sides just because it's the IU-Purdue series. But usually this game will have impact for the conference leadership, if not for the sole leader of the conference at this point champion type of impact and national context. But this year, both teams are struggling. I don't know. This IU team is really starting to slip down the pole or spiral. If they don't do something soon, the bottom could, if it's not already opened up, it could be opening up here in the next week or two, and it could get really ugly as you go into the end of the year.
Well, one of the things that concerns me about the Hoosiers, because first of all, they are in a glass house, a glass bowl. Everybody's looking in at them. They're not playing well. They're not performing the way you thought they would perform, although I never thought this would be a really good IU team anyway, because the leadership is limited, the experience is limited, and I think some of the recruits that make up the sophomore class were better on YouTube videos than they are in person. But I look at a situation with Perea, and he's still a young guy. People make mistakes. And I'm not going to just ping-pong this story for the next month. We'll talk about it today, and it's done. But for a player who a lot of people have had questions about, Don, as far as his playing, his ability, what he brings to the team, this certainly doesn't help the image that he has and that really some of the recruits in that sophomore class have overall for IU right now.
Well, there's no doubt about it. They haven't lived up to the billing. I think that Yogi has lived up to his billing. He's really improved this year his outside shooting, which I think we talked about last week on the show, where it was questionable or inconsistent last year. He's at the top of the charts in the Big Ten this year. But the others have just brought in consistency. And, you know, I think about your interview with Coach Simmons and what he said about how important it was for him not to focus on the negatives of what happened during that game the other night, the overtime win. But he went into the locker room, even though it sounded like they gave up a big lead, he went in celebrating and trying to release a little bit of that pressure and get these guys back on the winning track. And I'm not in the locker room at IU. I just my observation is that the pedal is probably pressed to the metal on the intensity and the pressure, and I could just see, you know, game in and game out, that the coaching staff's probably focused more on what they haven't done right as opposed to what they have done right. And sometimes they, you know, they're young, inexperienced kids. They, as Coach Simmons said, you can't emulate the pressure type situations, the environment that you got to play under, the intensity of these teams coming in that have upperclassmen that have been through it and that have gotten better. And, you know, they've got to find some kind of a formula to get these guys back on track so they can get a win.
But if what you're saying is true, Don, if what you're saying is true, then I think there's a mixed message going on. And this is what I've said before. You can't go out into the media and give these guys a crutch. If you're pressing the metal in the locker room and in practice, and then you're going out and saying, well, we're young, young teams do this, young teams don't get this, young teams have to learn this. If you keep saying that, are you going to – the players are listening. The players are hearing what you're saying. And psychologically, that becomes a crutch for them as well. My take is, here's a team with 20-plus games through the Big Ten. Yes, they're still learning. This team's going to grow a lot if they stay together and you add some pieces. But the fundamental things of the game are true for the young team or the experienced team. At some point, you got to be able to reverse the ball. You got to be able to skip passes. At some point, some leadership has to show on the floor. And I question this Hannah Perea deal. Is this a leadership issue? I'm not talking about a coaching issue. Is this a leadership issue within the team, the players, that somebody, you know, that they don't have it yet? I'm not saying somebody's not doing their job. I'm saying that it even reinforces what most of us already believe, that this team lacks a on-court leader. Therefore, it lacks a in-the-locker-room leader. And this type of situation, although kids do this, young men do this, young women do this, players do it all over the country, does it speak to a little bit of that immaturity yet and a lack of leadership in the locker room and on the court within the team?
Well, I suspect it does. I mean, they you know, I think Yogi tries to lead in some ways, but maybe he's not a natural team leader. Maybe he's more of saying, hey, I'm working my tail off and I'm getting better. You guys should be doing what I'm doing. Sheehy seems to be the person that should be the natural. He's the senior on the team. He's been through the wars. He's been through really tough times as well as some really exciting good times. But he hasn't seemed to kind of get over the hump this year as well. And, you know, they're searching. They're searching for leadership. They're searching for consistent play. They're searching for some of these guys to step up and at least play at another level on the court. So, Coach, you've been through it. I mean, I'm just observing. You've been through this. You've had seasons, good seasons and tough seasons. And you know, you get in these roles where things are not going well. Sometimes you got to change things up a little bit to get a different result or relieve something for these guys so that they can find a way to get one. I mean, Butler's in the same situation, Coach. I mean, look at Butler. They're 2-11 now in the conference. And, yeah, they could have won 5 or 6 games in overtime and all that, but still, they're 2-11. I went and saw them play the other night against Xavier, and they brought it against Creighton last night. But against Xavier, they were a hurt puppy dog from the get-go. And Kellen Dunham was like 1-for-10. He had 2 points during the game. Xavier dominated them from start to finish, were tougher than them, lockdown D, and they're searching. I mean, they're trying to figure out some way to get a little mojo going.
Yeah, and Don, you make great points on all that, and it is true. And that's why, as a coach, and you got to have some leaders on the team to help you, but that's why you have to concentrate on possessions. And I know it's not that easy because of the fishbowl they live in. Even Butler, with what they've done the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years, they've become the fishbowl in a mad sports city like Indy. You've got to concentrate on possessions. You've got to concentrate. You can't look at that scoreboard, because what's happening to these teams as they get late in the game, they start worrying about winning that game and not just keep playing the way they're supposed to play. I think Butler looked horrible. You're right, Xavier, that game was ridiculously bad. But there's, I think IU still hasn't shown me 5 minutes of good basketball as far as reversing the ball, breaking defenses down. If Yogi Ferrell's hitting those long shots, sometimes crazy, IU can stay in the game. But they still haven't understood, how do we go into Vonleh? When does he kick it out? How do we move the ball? And I don't know where all that gets cleaned up. But, Don, before we jump back to Joe on the Purdue side, let me throw this at you. IU has shown a propensity, as I talked with Jeff Rabjohns about, and made a good point, will they circle the wagon? I contest that they will. I do not think the Hannah Perea situation, because he has not been a key player on the team minutes-wise and things, I don't think it's going to be the major effect that the IU fans or Purdue fans will make it in the short term. I think IU has shown a propensity to bounce back after a bad play. Example would be against Nebraska, then they came back and played pretty decent. I think IU will come back at Mackey Arena. Will Sheehy and company, Yogi Ferrell, Noah Vonleh, I think they will play good basketball. Your thoughts?
I don't know if they will. I hope they do, but they're going to be on the road. They're going to be in a very tough environment, because even though Purdue's not having the greatest season as well, they're going to be ready for IU. And if IU's team walks in there with their head slightest way down, it could be a real disappointment for IU and Hoosier fans. And I hope that's not the case. But I'm really concerned about this situation. And I understand kids will be kids, and that's going to happen. But it's just a symptom. In my view, it's a symptom. This Hannah Perea bust is a symptom of what's going on with that team. And only, you know, the insiders truly know what's going on. But something is not right. And they got to figure out a way to get this thing under control.
I don't disagree with you, Don, and what a difference a year makes. And you know, when you recruit players, you can't just recruit the best athlete or the best player. You've got to also recruit the right kind of young men that will come on to the team. You know, sometimes it works out, but it should work out more than it doesn't work out. And I'm afraid the YouTube videos have caught up with this IU basketball team, at least part of these recruiting classes. Joe, I'm going to jump back at you. We're looking at a Purdue team that's 4-7 in the Big Ten, 14-10. Overall, an IU team that's 4-6, 14-9. We don't have any what I call star quality players, maybe Yogi Ferrell. But here's a Purdue team. I don't think they're very smart when it comes to playing basketball. They don't include, and A.J. Hammons makes a lot of mistakes, but they don't include him all the time down the floor on the offense. He should be a part of the offense almost every time down. Not always taking the shot, but getting touches. It's the same thing we talked about Cody Zeller last year. The guard play, although they're good athletically, they can shoot a little bit better, they make very poor basketball decisions. And that's what I mean by not being very smart. And a point you made a little bit earlier in this conversation, Joe, when it comes to the last few minutes of the first half or the last 4 minutes of the second half, that's where Purdue is losing their basketball games. They played good enough ball up to that point. Last 4 minutes of the game comes, the other team hunkers down and plays smart basketball. Purdue doesn't. They give up, what you say, blow-bys, and they come down and take ill-advised shots. Can this team find a focus to play against this IU team because it's the rivalry? I won't say because it's at home. It's got to be something else because they've played games at home before against top-quality teams, and they haven't been able to do it. Joe.
Joe must be at a loss of words.
We lost Joe again for the second time in the same conversation. Amazing. I just don't think that Matt Painter has been able to corral this team and get them where they need to be mentally, and maybe he can't. Maybe it's another case of recruiting some guys, plugging some people in for their athletic ability to be quicker, to be stronger, to be quicker, you know, because so much, Don, in the Big Ten is about strength, and so much in college basketball is about quickness, and maybe there's a saturation point where you forget about the litmus test of are they a good teammate? Do they have leadership skills? Not whether they were the captain of the team or the best guy on the team. Do they have leadership skills? Can they adjust? You know, I'll never forget what Michael Lewis told me. Michael Lewis said, Coach Knight said to him, if you want to play for us and play a lot, you've got to become a passer and a defender. And Michael Lewis decided to put his ego aside and become a passer and a defender because he wanted to play a lot and he wanted to be successful. And he ends up the all-time assist leader after scoring over 2,000 points in high school. Don, where is Purdue from the times you've seen them? I just don't think they're a very smart basketball team.
No, I think you're right. They still make a lot of mistakes, a lot of turnovers. And as you know, as a coach, Coach K, turnovers just kill you. And you know one thing that I'm gonna highlight, too, is Hammonds. He had shown last year a few times, and I guess he's shown it a little bit this year, but what potential he had. And, you know, I had heard rumors all during the summer last summer that he was not putting the kind of work in that somebody of his potential and size and strength should be doing. He was not making the kind of commitment that he should, and I think it's showing up during the season. I questioned that because I thought, God, that guy's got some, you know, real talent, but he's leaving a lot on the table, Coach, and he's got to make a decision and soon whether he wants to go to the next level or if he's just going to, you know, kind of be content with the level of play that he's doing.
Okay. I think you're right on Hammonds. I think Joe had just contacted me and said we may have a little connection problem going on at this point. So let's continue the conversation and see if Joe can get us connected or whatever we need to be. Hammonds is a mystery to me. He's an enigma. Here's this big Hibbert-type body, not quite a Hibbert, has all kinds of ability, can get the ball in the post done. He'll score 2-3 times in a row making good moves, and then he misses a couple shots and you don't see him the rest of the game. Gets into a tough situation late in the game. They need him on the court. He picks up two stupid fouls and fouls out. I don't know right now if mentally, and I'm not talking about his intelligence level. I don't want anyone to think I'm talking about his intelligence level. But mentally as a basketball player, I don't think he's capable of being a top-tier Big Ten basketball player. I don't think he shows the discipline to do it. And it's not the discipline of getting up every day and going to the gym. It's the discipline on the court of knowing, of settling, of letting yourself get emotionally out of control. When you're 6'11", 7 foot, whatever he is, and you mean that much to your basketball team, you can't pick up two quick fouls in the last 2 minutes and foul out. You've got to be smart enough to move your feet, position yourself, and stay on the court. It's no different than if IU loses a Noah Vonleh late in the game. When you're the key big guy, Don, you got to stay on the court.
There's no doubt about it, and you've got to make a commitment to improve. I mean, Coach Simmons, again, going back to your interview, how what he talked about, how these younger players every year have to get better and grow, both mentally and skill-wise and physically. And AJ has, I think, left some things on the table. I'll just put it that way. And again, I'm not questioning his intelligence or whatever, but he's got too much God-given talent and physical ability not to make that commitment, and he should be much better this year than he was last year. And again, looking at Yogi Ferrell, he got better. He worked on things over the summer and the off season to get better, and it's showing. Now the team's struggling, but he's improved a lot of his weaknesses, and Hammonds is—he just hasn't done it.
Well, I think in the end, there's going to be better days in Bloomington and better days in West Lafayette, but this year is what it is, and if it goes on again, the battle between IU and Purdue at Mackey Arena this weekend, the 15th, I don't know if it has the emotion and enthusiasm and competitiveness that most fans, but hopefully when the ball goes up, two teams are going to give it everything they've got, and we're going to be talking about what a great game it was at Mackey Arena. Hey, we're going to go to break. Joe's back with us. We want to apologize if we lost you possibly through the show. We got kicked off. You know, we're working on the internet, so we're at the mercy of the cyber system. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, we've still got Don Schultheis with us, Joe Milligan with us. We're going to talk high school basketball the rest of the time. Of course, girls' sectionals are going on. But boys' basketball is hitting the stretch, the final stretch as they move towards March. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the Coach wishing you a happy Valentine's Day. I just blew you a kiss out there to our listeners. Happy Valentine's Day from Coach K and Joe from the Coach K and Joe Show. We're going to talk some high school basketball as we finish up this final hour. You know, there's not a lot of boys basketball games going on this weekend because the Indiana Girls State Finals, the tournament, not state finals, but the IHSA tournament's going on, the sectional round. So a lot of boys games were played on Thursday. There will be some boys games maybe in some of the metro areas, but most of them around the state, they give the boys Saturday, Friday and Saturday off to honor the girls' state tournament. Last night, just to touch on some games that went on, Jasper played Evansville Modern Day, and Jasper got a nice win at home over the Modern Day Wildcats. Jasper, I believe, is 8-8 on the season. Heritage Hills, tough overtime victory over rival Forest Park, 68-59. Heritage Hills has kind of struggled. I don't want to mean they're just not playing maybe as consistent as they had been, but they're coming away with some victories. And you know, when you get into the tournament, knowing how to play when it gets tough, knowing how to play from behind, knowing how to play when it's close, it's all good for you. So Jasper, Modern Day, Heritage Hills, Forest Park. Boonville, who was 0-15 0-15 going into last night's game at Gibson Southern. Man, if you're a Gibson Southern fan, you're probably not feeling very good today. And if you're a player or a coach, you definitely had a tough time waking up this morning. Boonville beat Gibson Southern 60-57 last night to pick up their first win of the season. In a game here at the Pocket City in Evansville, pitting two at least highly touted teams in Evansville, Evansville Wrights, Evansville Harrison played on the hill over at Wrights. Harrison had beaten Evansville Wrights earlier in the season. I think it was in the city tournament finals. Wrights gets them back. 87-55. Ouch. Of course, if you remember early in the year, folks, Evansville Harrison was considered one of the top teams in all of the state of Indiana. They're sitting at 12-7. Wrights at 14-4. But I will tell you this. I told you earlier in the year, Harrison struggled with an inside game, and I thought that would hurt them in the end. If they got out of the sectional round, great, but I didn't see them going past the regional because of that. Castle beats Bossy. Orleans upends Lagodi. Princeton continues to be on a roll. Princeton 14-4 beats South Spencer 82-53. Of course, they'll have a big matchup here with Jasper soon that will decide, I think, possibly the Big 8 Conference Tournament. Washington beats Day School. Don Schulteis, what happened up in Indianapolis this week, high school-wise?
Well, as you said, there's not a lot going on this weekend, but we've had some key games during the week, and one that I attended on Wednesday night, Park Tudor versus Cecina. I know last week you talked about Cecina, and they've kind of built an up-and-coming program and have a really good team, but it was all Park Tudor on Wednesday night, Coach. And I'll tell you, Trevon Blewett, first time I've been able to see him since he's been playing, but he is the real deal. He had 40 points, an easy 40 points, and 10 along with 10 rebounds, and he dominated. He is a 6'5", long 6'5". I would say he could play 1, 2, or 3, but in college he'll probably be at the 2 or if they bulk him up a bit at the 3. But he did not disappoint me. He was just smooth. He is quick off the dribble. He defends well. He gets to the rim. He finds his teammates. It was a pleasure to watch him, and I thought Cecina would give him a better game, but it was clearly all Park Tudor. And
let me interrupt you just a minute. Trevon Blewett has done this consistently all year, as you talked about. He's the real deal. Two questions. One, and you can't answer maybe one of them. How in the heck, folks, listen to me. How in the heck does he get left off McDonald's All-American? I don't get it. It's ridiculous. And two, how did he get out of the state of Indiana when it comes college time?
Yeah, those are hard questions. The first one, even when you had Kyle Niedenrip on, he was perplexed by that. Really felt like there should have been three. As your listeners may or may not know, James Blackman Jr. is made it on the All-American, McDonald's All-American team, and so did Trey Lyles from Indianapolis Tech. We've talked about him almost at nauseam over the last couple of years. But both deservedly to be on the team. But Trayvon, I don't know. Maybe they look at the fact that he's a 2A team, playing for a 2A team. But, boy, he's got the numbers, and he's a really talented guy. And, you know, it's a shame. As far as him leaving the state of Indiana, I'm not quite sure what happened there. Xavier must have done a masterful job recruiting. And really from Indianapolis, Coach, it's only 110 miles to Cincinnati from here. It's a very easy drive. And my daughter Taylor, who is a recent graduate of Xavier, is really excited that Trayvon will be joining the Musketeers. And I'll tell you, he is going to be a nice addition to that team, and because I saw Xavier, as I said, play Butler the other night, and he's gonna be an impact immediately. So I don't know if IU took themselves out of it. I know that Butler was really hot on the trail And I'm not sure Purdue was even in the mix. So, but anyway, it's tough when one of your top players leave.
You had a big game up there, I believe. Was it between Carmel and Hamilton Southeastern?
Yeah, last night Carmel played Hamilton Southeastern, and as you may recall, HSE beat Indianapolis Tech and assumed the number one kind of ranking in the Indianapolis area. And then, boy, the next week they have to play Carmel. Carmel won by 1 point. I think that HSE had two shots at the end of the game to possibly win that game, but it just wouldn't go down. Carmel's an excellent team. They probably got less individuals. I mean, they're good players and all, but, you know, no standout, real standout talent. I think Zach McRoberts, their center, is going to go on to Vermont after this year, and he's been consistently good for them. But they've just got a really excellent team, and they're well coached by Scott Hetty, and they are the best team, basketball team, that I've seen up here this year. So big game and exciting game last night. And those were the kind of the highlights for the week, Coach. I mean, I attended the Cathedral game last night. They beat Roncalli, which is a rivalry game, but they won by 5 points at home. But as we're looking at the weekend, you know, there's a few games tomorrow afternoon, but nothing of note. I'm going to be heading up to watch IPFW, by the way, tomorrow night, play the University of Denver. And I just wanted to clear up a couple things. They are in the Summit League, and teams like North Dakota State University, South Dakota State, the University of Denver, Omaha, South Dakota, Western Illinois, and IUPUI are in their league.
Well, thank you for that information. And Indianapolis, Purdue, Fort Wayne, having a pretty solid year. Or Purdue, Fort Wayne.
Yeah, they're having a great year. They're second in their conference, right behind North Dakota State University. I think they're 7-3 in the conference at this point, but they do have a real good shot at winning their conference tournament and getting that automatic bid, and could be the only Indiana team, as you guys have talked about, to make the big dance. And it's really disappointing to be sitting here and at this point of the season and think that that is the only team that we're going to be able to see play in the NCAA tournament.
And what takes you up to see that game?
Well, one of the ex-Cathedral players from last year's team, Mo Evans, is a sixth or seventh man on IPFW, and then a longtime friend of mine, Dan Olson, he actually lives in Denver now, his son Brett is a guard that starts for the University of Denver, so I thought I would go up and watch him play. Both those young men play and kind of kill two birds with one stone.
Well, that'll be exciting, and good luck to them. I hope Mo has his mojo, and I hope Dan Olson's son has the best game, and hopefully you guys can hook up and talk a little bit. I'm looking at the conference standings, guys, down here in the southern part of the state. I'm going to run through those real quickly. In the SIAC conference, Harrison is up at the top, 12-6, 12-7 actually now. Bossy Wright's Memorial also won last night. They're in there. The Big Eight is the perplexing conference. Jasper sits at the top at 4-0, 8-8 overall. I think I'm going to stick with Jasper to win that sectional. I think Jasper has a lot of talent. I really do. I think they have a lot of talent. They have size, they have shooters, they have ball handlers. I don't know what's holding them back, but they are starting to play a little bit better there at 8-8.
Coach K, Heritage Hills is in that sectional. You don't think Heritage Hills should be the favorite to come out of that sectional this year?
I didn't say who the favorite was. I said who I'm picking. The Heritage Hills game went down to the last seconds. Jasper did lose that game by 2. In what was a – Joe, you were there. What about this 4-2 fourth quarter?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of crazy because – and I was sitting with Scott Brandt, and at the end of the game he said they only scored 6 points that whole quarter. And it wasn't like either of the teams held the ball. They were going up and down the floor, I guess. It was just inept offense by both. I don't know, but it was quite amazing that there was only 6 points because, you know, without realizing it, you know, they're moving it up and down the floor, and you're not sitting there realizing that 6 points total the whole quarter. I mean, I didn't even realize it until it was mentioned to me because, just as I said, neither team held the ball, and it was interesting that only 6 points were scored. And, you know, Jasper had a shot at the end to tie it, so.
It is interesting that a 4-2 fourth quarter, which I saw, and I immediately asked Joe Don, what the heck, 4-2, and thinking that somebody held the ball, but there was no holding the ball. Princeton, 13-4 in the Big A, probably playing as well as any team is right now in the southern part of the state. Mount Vernon's 8-8. Actually, Princeton's probably 14-4 right now. Vincennes Lincoln, who had a great start to the season but has kind of struggled down the stretch, they're either 13-5 or 14-5. Washington struggles. Mount Carmel doesn't matter because they don't play in the IHSA tournament. And Boonville, of course, who I said got their first win. The Big 8 has not been a great conference, but they still are going to be significant when it comes to the sectional draw.
Coach, Jasper should never get out of the Big 8. If they can go undefeated in the Big 8 and the fact that they're 8-8, half of their wins have come with Big 8 teams. Stay in the Big 8.
That's what I said. I mean, if you don't want to get any better, you're right.
They're undefeated in the conference, but they're also 4-1 against sectional opponents. So I think that last night was good to see the win against Evansville Modern Day because Evansville and New Albany and some of the bigger schools have kind of been the taboo for Jasper this year. And
Evansville Modern Day is smaller than Jasper. Oh, I know, but when you see Modern Day
beat Memorial, they beat Castle, you're going to the game thinking, okay, here it comes again. And you're not reading the paper.
Joe, you're not even reading the paper because Modern Day is 9-7. And they have 400 students.
And they beat Castle. They beat Memorial, who walloped Jasper.
Joe,
so you know,
Joe, you got to look at the body of work. You got to look at the body work. But that might be too much work for you. Southridge 13-4. I think they won again. They're probably 14-4. Lead the big the Pocket Athletic Conference with South Spencer, Forest Park, Heritage Hills in there as well. Barreve, the class of Southern Indiana from the standpoint of record, and they're number one in 1A, 6-0 in their conference, 16-1 overall.
Coach, can I ask you a question? Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
About Barreve. You've seen them play.
Yeah.
You've seen a lot of other teams in the Southern Indiana area, Evansville area play. I know they're 1A. How do they stack up as far as the best of the best in that part of the state?
I think that they would fare well against most every team they would play. They have guard play. They have some quickness. They have inside play. They can shoot. They've got a little size, a decent bench, and they have a pretty experienced, seasoned head basketball coach. But, Don, to say that they're going to go into a 4A-type schedule or a 3A-type schedule and win and be 15-1, I can't say that. I can't
right.
say that. But, see, Indiana took that away from us to be able to decide to see who really is, who are the best teams, because we've got class basketball. But when I look at them overall in Southern Indiana, they can compete night in and night out with just about everybody. Now, are they going to be 15-1? Probably not. Are they going to be 12 wins? Possibly. You know, instead of 15-1, 12-4, they could be. They've got a nice team. We've got 1 minute left live, Don, before our show ends. You got anything to add?
Well, I just wanted to clear up something on the Derek Jeter situation, and it wasn't that I was bad-mouthing him. I respect what he's done.
You were bad-mouthing us. You were ripping
us. You guys were like talking like it was a eulogy. The guy is not dead. He has not even played his last baseball game left, and, you know, you kept talking in the past tense, and I was like, wait a minute. The guy is not dying. He's retiring from baseball.
done. He's retired. He's announced that this is his last year. We were talking about the framework of his career. It's not going to change by what he does this year or doesn't do this year. You were kind of getting on your bro and Joe. That's what you were doing.
Well, all I'm going to say is that no man is perfect, and there'll be a time where some things come out about him that show that he's a man and not a, you know, God sits up atop of the baseball
player.
Well,
we're talking about him as a baseball player.
You talked about his off the field.
He never created problems for Major League Baseball. He never created problems for Major League Baseball.
No, I can't argue with that. I respect him too as a player. I wanted to clear up my view.
Well, Derek Jeter has just called into the show. He's given us front row seats for Yankees games, but he said Don Schulteis does not get one. Hey, there's a lot of good basketball out there. Jasper's girls team's out of the sectional, but there's still a lot of good players out there playing, teams playing. Check out Jackie Young from Princeton. I know they've got a bunch of good players up in the Indianapolis area. And one of our favorites over in Mount Carmel, Illinois, Tyra Buss had 41 the other night. Joe, we're done with the Coach K Joe Show. Take us home, buddy.
Okay, you know, we always say, you know, if you've got time tonight, you know, the greatest value you can have is to go to a high school basketball game, whether it be the girls' sectional, or I know that a lot of teams are playing on Saturday, boys' teams. Jasper's plays at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, and we invite you also take your sweetheart out for a Valentine's dinner before you go to the game. So for Joe, for Kenny, for Don, this is Joe Milligan saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.